You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Alert, hourly update. Breaking crime news now.
I'm Nicole Parton. Heartbreaking news coming out of Minnesota. Isaac Arthur Arndt, an 18-year-old, is accused of murdering his 14-year-old girlfriend, Jalen Nicole Walker, in Moorhead, Minnesota. He has been ordered to remain in custody on a $1 million bond. The tragic incident occurred when Arndt allegedly stabbed Jalen more than a dozen times at Gooseberry Park and then disposed of her body in the Red River. Arndt initially reported to the Clay County Law Enforcement Center, claiming to be a victim of an assault. However, upon noticing cuts on his fingers, the police grew suspicious. Arndt narrated a story involving an unidentified white male attacking him and Jalen at the park, but authorities found inconsistencies. Eventually, Arndt confessed to the crime, revealing that Jalen had confronted him about a new relationship, leading to a violent altercation that resulted in her death. Jalen's mother reported her missing to the Moorhead police, who located her body with multiple stab wounds near the Red River. After further investigation and questioning, Arndt admitted to stabbing Jalen multiple times, then cutting her throat. After that, quote, giving her one final hug before inflicting one last fatal stab wound. Arndt was arrested and transported to jail in Fargo before being brought back to Minnesota for his first court appearance. He is charged with second-degree murder. The judge set his bond at $1 million, ensuring that he remains in custody as the legal proceedings continue. Jalen's family has started a petition in hopes of having the case reevaluated and the charges changed from second-degree to first-degree murder. Change.org, justice for Jalen.
I'm Drew Nelson.
Get on the ground right now. Get on the ground right now. Get on the ground right now. Get on the ground.
A man in California starts singing Tina Turner and Stevie Wonder after police shoot him following a gruesome double murder in a quiet mobile home community. Officers from Orange County Sheriff's responded to a distressing 911 call in San Juan Capistrano. The caller, a relative of the victims, reported receiving disturbing photos of her elderly aunt and uncle covered in blood. When deputies arrived at the San Juan Mobile Estates, they were confronted with a grisly scene. Inside the mobile home, they discovered the decapitated bodies of 77-year-old Ronald Girdville and 79-year-old Antoinette Girdville, along with their mutilated dog. One of their heads is brazenly placed on the kitchen counter. The suspect, 41-year-old Joseph Girdville, is the son of the slain couple. Witnesses report seeing him acting erratically earlier that morning. After allegedly attacking a maintenance worker with a fork, he stole the worker's golf cart and sped off. Deputies soon spotted him covered in blood driving the stolen cart near a bike path. They attempted to arrest him, but he became aggressive, throwing a heavy shovel at them. He ignored their repeated commands to stop and charged at the officers, and they had no choice but to open fire. That's when the show starts.
We got another one by the groin.
That's body camera footage capturing the intense encounter. The deputies fired five shots at Girdville as he walked toward them. The first three bullets seemed to have no effect, but the fourth brought him down. Blood poured from his wounds as he collapsed to the ground. Despite his injuries, Girdville's behavior remained bizarre. As the officers surrounded him, he said, quote, I love you. I'm sorry you're going to have to die. And then he pleaded, quote, just finish me off. Put one in my head, please. I beg of you. Once he was done singing Tina Turner, he shifted to Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You, singing softly as the officers worked to stabilize him. Paramedics soon arrived and rushed Girdville to a nearby hospital where he was treated for his injuries and later stabilized. He was then charged with two counts of homicide for the brutal slayings of his parents. The motive for the killing remains unclear, but neighbors describe Girdville as having a troubled history. One neighbor recalls seeing him argue with his father the day before the murders, appearing angry and agitated. Another suggests Girdville has a drug problem, which may have contributed to his violent actions.
I'm Jennifer Gould. A Utah children's book author, Corey Richens, will stand trial for the alleged murder of her husband with fentanyl. The shocking twist Evidence suggests she may have been having an affair and texted her alleged lover in the days leading up to the crime. A judge ruled there was enough evidence to proceed after a preliminary hearing revealed the disturbing details. Prosecutors allege Corey Richens not only poisoned her husband, Eric Richens, with a Moscow mule laced with fentanyl on March 3, 2022, but also attempted to kill him just 17 days prior with a fentanyl-laced sandwich. The case took a further bizarre turn when a forensic expert revealed text messages exchanged between Corey and a man named Robert Grossman in the days leading up to Eric's death. Here's the prosecutor, Brad Bloodworth, at the hearing.
The defendant is spending Valentine's Day with her paramour.
Corey reportedly texted Grossman, "Love you," the day before, and then kept him updated on her arrival time while driving to see someone on Valentine's Day, the same day prosecutors believe she tried to poison Eric with that sandwich. Further investigation revealed deleted text messages and location data suggesting an ongoing extramarital affair. Corey even allegedly texted, quote, "If he could just go away, life would be so perfect," end quote, the day after Valentine's Day. The prosecution paints a picture of a desperate woman facing financial ruin, allegedly $3.1 million in debt, who saw her husband's $5 million estate as a way out. They believe she poisoned him for both love and money. Corey self-published a children's book on grief titled Are You With Me? After her husband's death. Prosecutors described the book as a calculated cover-up attempt. But Corey maintains her innocence. Her defense team argues there is no evidence of fentanyl in the home, and they insist the charges will not hold up in court. The trial is set to begin on April 28, 2025. She faces 25 years in prison if convicted. For the latest crime and justice news, follow the Crime Alert Hourly Update on your favorite podcast app. With this Crime Alert, I'm Jennifer Gould.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.